sending this show out to all in need of healing. It's all over the world, as well as locally to some special people in my life, my Lena Zahara, to Happy Smiles and Healing, and to Anne Goldine for a safe passage, and to the family and friends of Mark Josephs from the Tenor Guitar Gathering, and to all of the rest of us who certainly need support most of the time. Gonna start out right now with a tune from Otter Creek, their album The Fiddle Preacher, and they are going to be at the Liberty tomorrow night. And here's a piece called Hora for Anne. Was the Otter Creek, and I believe they were on the radio this morning with Albert, and they will be at the Liberty tomorrow evening. You can call, you can stop over there, or you can call 503-325-5922 and get yourself a ticket. And speaking of tickets, we have a very exciting show coming up. I'm very excited because it's the kind of theater that I have missed in our local area. But Karen Bain is back in town. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Carol.
And we are so happy to have you here. And so we're getting some really exciting theater. She has directed pieces at the Coaster. She started out as one of the founders of the River Theater. Those of you who remember, it was a fabulous little black box theater, and we still miss it, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Having that facility. And Karen is able to take serious pieces and bring them, make them accessible to audiences. She's also able to make what I thought would be lightweight pieces and give them incredible depth. And the one I'm thinking of particularly had to do with Sherlock Holmes, I believe. Is that one? You brought out some performances that were extraordinary. So what brought you back to Astoria? First, let's tell people where you've been. What did you do? You just did a lab. First, you got your degree from U of O. Give us a little of your background in theater.
I have an MFA from University of Oregon. I've taught at Oregon State and at Clatsop Community College and privately through theaters. And I've directed probably 35, 40 plays.
Whoa. Yeah.
and survived.
Yeah. And those of us who have been lucky enough to experience that have been extremely appreciative. And that goes back. You also directed at the on the college stage at the Performing Arts Center, which is where you're coming back. I was lucky
nice
to be the French fry lady for that one, and that was a serious piece, but it did have French fries in it.
We always think of you as the French fry lady. Yes, we always think of you as the French fry lady. There we go.
Thank you. My brother actually loved it because I was living in McDonald's at the time, and he still chides me about that. Most recently, though, you went off to, that was just May of last year, you went to a director's lab west in L.A. What was that?
It was a gathering of directors that came together to inspire each other and learn. And this year's theme was out of the box. So we were exploring theater that took place in other places besides theaters, which was very interesting. Prison theater and location theater. And it was really and there to network. And I went because I sat often between working here in this community that I love and going and working professionally where the toys are bigger and better. And I went down there to make contacts, maybe moving towards that direction. And what I discovered is that I didn't want to do that, I love my home and I want to bring theater here to heal my community in any way that I can and to be part of entertainment as well in the process.
Well, we are thrilled, and I think I can speak for many, if not everybody in the theater community, which includes my other guest, William. William? Hi. Is it William these days?
You can call me William, yes.
William
Ham.
You
can call me Ray, you can call me Jay, whatever you want.
William Ham, whom you may also hear on Coast Community Radio on Wednesday nights, if you're brave.
If you're awake, yes.
And wow and flutter.
Yes.
And it's hard for me to say William, though.
No, you can call me Bill.
I can
That's
call you
fine,
Bill,
yes.
Because many of us in the community have experienced Bill Ham's performances. He's an excellent performer. He also has created a couple of nights when, after the River Theater was no more, then there was the Susie Brown's Peer Pressure.
Yes.
And Bill did some extraordinary, I don't even know what you call it, because it's not stand-up.
It was a one-man show, because that's how many people were in the show.
Right. Okay. That makes it easy. Okay.
I was going to do another one, but there was a lot of arguments between the cast, so we
And as I say, it was sort of comedy.
Comedy, yes.
Yes.
Yes, people were supposed to laugh
His sense of humor sometimes eludes some people, but it's quite sophisticated and very funny.
Thank you.
The reason Bill, William Ham, and Karen Bain are here together right now on Arts Live and Local is that Karen is directing Samuel Beckett's Waiting for Godot. And what was did I understand that was brought up at that conference that you were at?
Yes,
at
that was the text that we used. And there were different directors who directed the same scene, so you could go watch their process and watch their product at the same time. And
you mean right then and there? They brought in actors and did it. Well, they used you
They
folks.
Used the directors as
they
actors.
They used other directors as actors.
Yeah.
That's quite wonderful, I would think.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, so you feel that the whole process in there.
Mm-hmm. It was great watching somebody else work. That directors don't often get to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why they have the lab, is to give people a chance to come together, because directors are solo artists.
Right, right. I never thought of it that way, but obviously you get almost always, except for Nine Parts of Desire, one director and a bunch as many cast members, but the director is alone.
Mm-hmm.
What you were familiar with the play, of course.
Yes.
And what happened? How did it make you feel to see all these possibilities?
It was great, and I really fell in love with the script for the first time. I love the rhythms in it and the themes in it and the heart in it at the same time.
Had you ever directed it?
No, I had not.
Okay. Had you thought of directing it, or is this what inspired you?
That's what inspired me.
Okay.
It was on my list, but it wasn't at the top of my list.
It was on her Beckett list.
My Beckett.
Oh, God. See what I mean, folks? Okay. Moving right along there. Okay. So let me give the logistics, and then I'd like you, between the two of you, to tell us whatever you want to tell us about this play, because it is an extraordinary piece.
There is.
So the show is going to be at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria, that's 16th and Franklin, and it will be Friday and Saturday nights, not tonight, but next week, the 29th and 30th at 7 p.m., and Sunday at 3 p.m., and then the following week, just Friday and Saturday night at 7, all of it taking place at the Performing Arts Center, which, again, from another point of view, a lot of us are excited about, to see some serious theater happening at the PAC the way it used to. Serious, funny, music, whatever it was, having the PAC as a theater venue.
Yes,
so absolutely. Thank you. Okay, now I'm going to give it back to you. And, you know, I did have one, I had one other note that I mentioned, that you've directed, I like this, Shakespeare, Shepherd, Aristophanes, Rand, and themes of dysfunctional families, murder, the intellectually challenged, social philosophies, Iraqi women, and war.
And that was all one play.
And I can actually identify a lot of those, because I try never to miss something that that Karen Bain is involved in. She also acts, and she's also a painter, a sculptor, a jewelry designer, very, very rich woman, and now we are very rich to have you here. So tell us about Waiting for Godot by Samuel Beckett.
I think the best description that I've ever read of this play, and I don't remember who it was who said it, but it was fairly early on, was it is a play where nothing happens twice.
Explain
that.
Give a little more.
Well, it's, I would say, I mean, first of all, it's probably the most famous sort of avant-garde play of the modern era. You know, the theater of the absurd basically kind of has its roots, I think, largely in this play. Although, I mean, you know, we can go back to, you know, Artaud and all that stuff, but you don't want to do that. And as far as what the play is about, well, that is a pretty major, you know, that has been a thing of much debate and much discussion and much conjecture for a long time. This is, you know, this play opened originally, was written in about 1947. It's the first play that Beckett wrote. He had done novels and short pieces and essays before that. This is the first one that he had done as theater. And it opened in Paris. Beckett was Irish. He was living in Paris at the time. He had written this play in French originally, En Entendant Godot, which is French for, I don't know what it is. But he, you know, and it had taken a while to sort of, you know, catch on, I guess. You know, it did. It was met with pretty much universal incomprehension.
Mm-hmm. Bill, it suits you perfectly.
Well, I am if I am nothing if not incomprehensible, yes. But I guess the...
Why did it survive and flourish then?
A wonderful question, and one that I am in no way equipped to answer. Well, I think it's a play that... Well, to describe the play, I guess, there were five characters in the play. Vladimir, who was portrayed by myself. This is the second time, incidentally, I played this character.
Yes, I noticed that. Interesting.
Yeah, I played it once 20 years ago in a different production on the East Coast. And Estragon, who in this production is performed by Slabs Levinsky, another familiar voice, I think, to our Coast Community Radio fans, who are... Basically, well, I mean, the title of the play is essentially the plot of the play. They are waiting for Godot. Who is Godot? Well, that's up to you, basically. Mm-hmm. They're waiting for somebody who has promised to come, and there will be, you know, they are hoping for something to happen. His arrival is fraught with meaning to them, and they are waiting on a road... bare but for a mound and a single bare tree, and they spend the entire play basically trying to find something to pass the time while they're waiting for the titular character, who, spoiler alert, never shows up.
Oh, no.
What? Well, that's everybody knows that. Come on.
No, that's...
All right. Okay. Yes.
Not only does everyone...
You can look in the program. Is there anybody listed under Godot? No.
Sorry. In the meantime, not only does not everyone know that, but we're not even sure that's true.
Ah, yes. Thank you, Carol. That is correct. There is a question as to, yes.
Because since we don't know who, what, etc.
Even they aren't entirely sure what he looks like. Yes, that's true. So, but like I said, there is so much in the way of interpretation.
Yeah.
In fact, incidentally, I do want to mention before we forget, tonight at the PAC,
there will be
a lecture.
Yes.
Who is it doing the lecture, Karen?
Seth Titchener, who is the philosophy professor or instructor at the college. I can personally vouch for Seth. I took a class, Philosophy of Art, from him, which I expected. I went because I thought it was going to be multicultural art, and that's my thing. He started out with Aristotle and Plato, and I was like, oh, no, it's real philosophy. And it was fabulous. I went every time, and I was riveted. So tonight at 7 p.m. at that very same Performing Arts Center on 16th and Franklin, come on over and check out. And I bet you folks are going to be there, if possible.
You know,
maybe
we might not be, because we're actually still, you know, we're still in rehearsing.
Okay.
Yeah,
there will be an opportunity to talk. And this, I think it's a good idea, too, because over the years, there have been many interpretations and changing in ideas, even by the same people.
Sure.
He's going to put it in perspective of the philosophy at the time and the roots of where the play came from. But the play is good enough to
stand on its own without
stand on its own and stand on its own in this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's one thing that I want to make sure that people know as well, because it's kind of a, you know, this play has such a reputation and so daunting to a lot of people that people are maybe expecting this to be very heavy, very difficult to get through, very cerebral. You can approach it that way. But one thing, that it's a very, very entertaining play. And it's also honestly one of the funniest plays I've ever seen. I mean, it's very, very funny.
And you've got quite a cast. Who else is in it besides?
So it's myself, it's Slab, Bill Honnell.
Bill
will
Honnell,
be playing the role of Pozzo.
Also.
Lucky will be played by, we can say, I guess, by Patrick Webb, another familiar voice, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the character of Boy, who is going to be portrayed by a boy.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So we're close to out of time. Karen, how do you feel about, since you developed the idea of directing this because of the workshops that you did, how does it feel now that you're actually doing it?
I love it. It's a very complicated piece. There's a lot of scholarship on it. And at first I was reading a lot about the background and different interpretations. Mm-hmm. And I started to sort of feel a little like I wasn't up for it. Mm-hmm. And once we got in the rehearsal room, it was like, oh, I know this.
Yes.
And we explored this play with this cast, with this group of people, in this place, and this is our production of it.
Oh, nice, mm-hmm. nice.
And it's not an intellectual, it is an intellectual play. Yeah. It can be approached as an intellectual play, but approach it in a human, it's a very human play.
Well, and I want to mention that Bill thinks that everybody in the world is a theater buff, I'm here to say that's not true.
No.
And so there are many of you who've never heard of this thing and never heard of Samuel Beckett. This is, I'll say, from my point of view here in Clatsop County in 2016, this is a fantastic opportunity to see something that you haven't been given the none of us have been given the opportunity to do, and this is it. So check it out. Tickets are at the door. I will mm-hmm. mention no credit cards. It's all cash and checks. And that is a week from tonight, the 29th and 30th at 7 p.m., and then the next day, Sunday, the 31st at 3 p.m., and the following Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. So there are 5 performances. Come early. You might want to come back or bring friends.
Yes.
And be prepared to enjoy. And, you can think about it as much as you want. You can read about it as much as you want. Or you can just come and say, wow, good. Thank you so much for bringing it here. Thanks,
You're
Karen.
Welcome. And Seth's lecture tonight.
And the tonight at 7 p.m. at the Performing Arts Center. That's all 16th and Franklin. And Seth Titchener will be talking about it. Okay. Thank you so much, Bill Hamm, Karen Bain. And we'll look forward to seeing all of you there. And I have... Let's see. I have I have some music for you, but there it is. It almost disappeared, but not quite. You are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMU. Not KMUN today. It's on KCPB 90.9 or coastradio.org, where you will hear us today and until the part comes in that we are waiting for. These things happen. They happen to big radio stations. They happen to little radio stations. We're lucky we have the skill set and the second service that we were able to switch it over so you can all catch it. Thanks for being here, folks. Here's Ann Feeney. Today is January 22nd in 1973. Roe v. Wade was passed in favor of women's reproductive rights.
You would have been 10 years old. You would have been going to school. You would have been living your life with me, with me. You'd probably be tall for your age, with a head full of curls and eyes like the deep blue sea. It's not an easy thing. It's taken me all this time to know what I did was right. In my mind, I hold your hand. I think you understand as I sing you this lullaby tonight. La 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 la. You would have been born in June, and the man in the moon would have smiled upon your bed. I would have loved you so hard. I would have kept you so safe. At least that's the story in my head. It's amazing what time can do. I'm lying to me and you. truth is that I was young, not ready to mother someone or to sing you this lullaby tonight. La 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 la. I was as wild as a weed, drunk on love, high on speed. We almost lie in the beds we make, but I couldn't let you suffer for my mistake. You would have been 10 years old, you would have been going to school, you would have been living your life with me. With me, you'd probably be tall for your age, with a head full of curls and eyes like the deep blue sea. Some people would say I've sinned, some people would call me names. If I had it to do over, I'd do the same thing again. This is just between me and you. What I want to do is to sing you a lullaby tonight. La 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 la.
That was Anne Feeney with Lullaby. And let's not forget, we still have the power. So speak up when you believe in something. And I believe in art. I think everybody knows that, and I certainly do speak up. And so to my next two guests, I have Kristen Schock here in the studio. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Carol.
And Kristen speaks up a lot, including right here on this radio station. She is the full-time instructor, the head of the art department at Clatsop Community College, and teaching painting, drawing, and design.
That's right.
Good. Got it. And she is also the originator, the founder of the Au Naturel, the Nude in the 21st Century exhibit, which, believe it or not, is coming right up.
10th anniversary.
10th anniversary.
I can't believe
actually,
it.
Actually, is the show up already?
It is. It's up on the wall.
Yes, I thought I read that. That is fantastic. So, Kristen brought with her one of the artists, and which name are we going by?
I'm going by Penny.
Okay, okay, that makes it easy. Penny Treat is here. I saw the Penelope, and I thought, oh, I better sit up straight.
No, that's my legal name. My mother
I
gave
said,
that to
okay.
me.
Okay, well, it's a good name, and it's
you.
Unusual,
Thank
too.
You. Carol, thanks.
Now, I understand this is your third time.
I'm very grateful to have been juried in three times and be part of the history mm-hmm. of the Au Naturel, starting yeah. way back with Kristen, you know, 7-8 years ago, and then through with Royal Nebuchadnezzar mm-hmm. and even today. I'm not sitting here because, you know, it just happened. It was all those mentors, those wonderful people.
Well, and two things you just said that remind me. First of all, I want to mention that each year, and Kristen will tell us about this year's, but each year there is a different juror. So for someone to be juried in different years doesn't mean, oh, well, you know, why not? The same person. No, it's a completely different juror with a different perspective. So that's very exciting. Yeah. Congratulations
Thank you.
To you.
And it's not like I have an inside track.
No. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Although you are a relative local. You live across
I am
the river.
I'm very proud to be the only local girl.
Oh. Full-time local.
Full-time local.
We have some part-time local.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to also mention, since you mentioned his name, that we're very pleased to say that this show, for the first time, is being shown at the Clatsop College Royal Nebuchadnezzar Art Gallery. And No, the venue has not changed, but the name has.
It has changed.
And we're
yes.
very happy about that.
Yes.
So, yeah. So this is a great honor for Royal and his family and for our community.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So tell us, Kristen, who is the juror this year?
The juror this year is Lisa Harris, and I wanted to invite her because I wanted to hold the show in memory of Royal. Lisa Harris is Royal's gallerist in Seattle. She's the owner and director of Lisa Harris Gallery. And so I thought that was a very nice connection there.
Wonderful.
And
yeah.
I was thrilled when she accepted because it's such a big job. And so she accepted.
Lovely.
Yes.
And we should mention that the last show was fabulous, and that was Royal's work as well as others, and it was a gorgeous show.
Oh, the faculty show.
The faculty show.
It was so nice to have his work in the gallery
yeah.
and to feel his presence. You know, we feel his presence there continuously,
mm-hmm.
but it was nice to have his work there.
Yeah, that was a real
again,
treat.
Yes.
And, of course, all the wonderful faculty members. But this show, Au Naturel, is actually an international show, and I think I read that you had people submit from something like, how many states? And
from 33 states,
okay.
plus the District of Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did have some international submissions as well from Canada, Mexico, and Romania.
Oh.
And so ultimately, she had to narrow it down, our judge, Lisa Harris.
Sure.
She chose 52 artists from 17 states, plus the District of Columbia. And we do have international artists, one from Romania and then two from Canada.
How does that work, an artist from Romania? What do they do, pack up their work and send it to you?
They ship it over. And
wow.
he was pretty clever. He rolled up his work. It actually hangs like a scroll, so it wasn't as expensive to ship because he rolled it up in as a tube.
Okay.
Type thing.
Okay.
Yes.
So,
but it's a huge piece. It's the biggest piece in the show, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
And you'll see it as soon as you enter the doors.
Nice.
So it's pretty
nice.
Impressive.
Well, and now, again, let's get the logistics out there. The show is up right now. You can go up to the college and see it. You just go all the way up 16th Street, take a left, go all the way as far as you can go, and the gallery is on your right. That's the easiest directions, I think, if you're coming from downtown. If you're coming
right.
the other way, find your way. But
there is a detour, though, I should
oh,
mention. So
oh,
please follow
right.
the signs. You have
oh,
to kind of
yeah,
go.
Yeah, don't follow me.
Well, you have to turn. The signs are there. They'll
yes,
guide you.
Yes, it'll be easy. But the opening is this coming Thursday. That would be January 28th at 6 p.m. And Penny, are you going to be at the opening?
You bet. Bill's on my toes. Absolutely. I encourage everyone
yeah.
that I, all my art buddies and anybody that's interested in fine art, I know that I get a kick out of it. I take the brochures and I put them around town. And in some places, they don't stay long.
Ah, yes, because they're so attractive. But, absolutely.
Well, they are attractive and but I just remind people that from Egyptians, the culture on the human form has been used in a very very exotic, interesting ways, and it's to be celebrated. And I think that's what I love. I mean, I work in different mediums, but I have. I always roll back to the human figure because it's the foundation of fine art. So, you know, be able to understand anatomy and physiology, be able to understand light and dark and the spatial relationships and so forth, and then be able to experiment. My piece is kind of experimental, so.
Fun. Well, and what is it? What's the medium you used?
Well, it's a sumi, meaning black ink, on mylar, clear mylar.
Mm.
So I'll be working with a model, and mm-hmm. I'll sumi the image of the model, and then I'll lay, once that dries.
On what? On mylar.
On mylar, a clear mylar. I paint on clear mylar.
So is that mounted on?
It's on the
canvas?
Monoprint. Once that dries,
okay.
I lay it, the paint side down onto the mylar.
Ah.
And when you move, and then if you don't like it on that particular flat, on that monoprint flat, you can move the Mylar to another monoprint flat. And it's sort of like a kaleidoscope. You're really not sure what you're going to get each time you move it around to another flat. And a flat is just like an underpainting for printmaking. So I've combined printmaking with drawing and painting.
Nice. And
it's shiny. It's kind of shiny on the outside. It's kind of, I don't know, kind of edgy, maybe, you know, city kind of edgy, but it's cool.
Have you done that before?
No.
Isn't that exciting?
It is.
You tried an experiment and it worked.
Well, it did. Somebody liked it.
Exactly.
She must have liked it.
I was going to say, it worked for the owner of a very prestigious gallery, and I think it's going to work for a lot of other people too.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, one can see all or most of the art.
All of the art is posted on our website, so if you want a sneak peek, but please come by and see it in person.
Oh, it's
just
totally
not
different.
The same as
no,
seeing it online. But we do have a website. You can find it at www.onaturelart.com. Make sure you put the art in there or you'll get some sort of lotion website. But Au Naturel Art, and make sure you spell it the French way.
N-A-T-U-R-E-L. Now, I want to say, apropos of what you just said, I went and looked at that, and I actually clicked on some to enlarge them. Even so, they only enlarge to a few inches by a few inches, but it made me very excited to want to see the show, because you can see there's a lot of gorgeous stuff there, and that show is always good.
I like to think there's something for everybody. It's such a wide, diverse range of approaches to the figure.
Apropos of what, or in addition to what Penny said, why did you, when you first came to town, or early on, why did you want to do this?
Well, you know, there was a lot of pressure coming into the art department. My colleagues, you know, they're just such impressive artists and so many connections. And part of our responsibilities as instructors is to bring shows to the gallery that connects to what we teach in the classrooms. It's such an important teaching tool. And I just really didn't have any connections yet. And so I thought, well, let's bring the art here, the artists here. And it was just such an amazing experience to do that. And like I was just telling Penny, I the main reason was for the students, that I wanted to bring the art here. But I never really imagined the connections, the friendships that would grow from this show. It's just been amazing in so many different ways.
Yeah. And that's true for the artists too. We're going to have the good fortune this year of meeting an hour early so we can get to jam with each other.
Oh, what a nice idea.
Yeah. And in Portland, we went to the Portland Art Museum to see a show, the impressionistic show that was on. And we met one of the All in Natural artists. His name is Cheng Ma.
He's from China originally.
He's from China.
And he's living in San Francisco. He came up to deliver the work. We met him up in Seattle.
Yeah, sweet. And so it was really fun to talk to him about living in China, being an artist in China. Mm-hmm. It's such a different perspective than here.
Sure.
And I think he'll be at the reception, too.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of the artists getting together in advance. I know in the past, often, I don't know if it's going to happen this year, but a bunch of people just kind of piled over and because people weren't ready to let go of one another. So,
well, we have the after party.
Don't forget.
Exactly.
Please
after
come.
The reception this year, we're going to have the after party down at the Bridgewater Bistro.
Okay. Yeah, so. It is a delight, because then there's an opportunity to just hang out and talk. And I've met a lot of wonderful people, and much appreciated.
There's so many people that contribute to this, I know, and the contributors this year for the
you
show.
You mean to help put the show together?
We have an
amazing assistance and work study.
Yeah, but I mean, like the Bridgewater, do they contribute?
Oh, the community partners,
too. That's okay. We do have the community pitches in to make this happen. It has to, and it's become an institution. So I want to congratulate you, Kristen, on starting it, because at the very beginning there was a little bit of, what do they say, pushback?
Kind of a crazy idea to throw out there, but I have to say Royal was so supportive, and he served as our first juror, mm-hmm. and through his connections, the show continued to grow. And I do want to mention that there will be two of Royal's pieces mm-hmm. in the exhibit.
Oh, sweet.
Yes.
Sweet, sweet.
Two nudes by Royal.
Okay. Okay. Again, this is Au Naturel, the 10th annual Au Naturel, the nude in the 21st century. And the show is up right now at the College Art Gallery. And if you want more information or if you want to see the work, give us the website one more time.
Au Naturel Art, AUNATURELART.com.
Okay, that's easy enough. And then join us and everyone else on the 28th. That is Thursday night at 6 p.m. The show runs through March 10th. So you will have plenty of time if you're either not around or you live somewhere else and you're going to say, hey, I want to catch that. I'm going to come visit. And you said there were other, I know that Reed Clark is one of the other
Reed
part-time Clark locals.
Reed Clark lives part-time in Gearhart, and Ben Rosenberg.
Ben Rosenberg, who
is also in for the third time.
Okay.
Reed Clark, it's his sixth time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
wonderful.
Excited.
And yet each time is quite different. And I really enjoyed, and then I'm going to have to let you go. I enjoyed, you've got also, in addition to painting and printmaking, you've got a textile piece.
There is a knitted piece, and
knitted.
This same artist was in previously. We have a glass piece that's just stunning.
Okay.
We have some really interesting
you
mixed media
pieces.
Also
have scratch
board
by a
beautiful scratch board.
Gorgeous. And
by a very young girl. I think she's 22.
Yes. I was shocked.
And it's just spectacular. Yeah.
It caught my eye. Mm-hmm. I opened it up, and I read that, and I went, mm-hmm. whoa. Mm-hmm. This is very hopeful in the world of art. And we all know that the world of art is all about creativity, problem solving, all the things that we need in this world. So check it out, Au Naturel, at the Clatsop College Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery in Astoria. Thank
yes.
you so much.
Thank you, Carol.
Kristen
you,
Schock,
Carol.
Penny Treat, and congratulations again.
Thank
Penny
you,
Penny, on your art, and Kristen on keeping the show going.
Thank
and
you
to
so
the
much.
Art department for supporting it. Good job.
Thank
Thanks.
You.
Thank you.
Okay. And I have a piece of music here. I have a dedication for it. This is Maggie and the Cats. They are going to be playing tonight at Sweet Basil's. And this is a benefit for Samuel Wesley Whitehorn. We want to send out healing and loving wishes to Sam and to Bridget Kitson. Maggie's daughter, actually, Sam. Well, I want to tell you what happened to Sam because it shocked me and it shows that the vigilance needs to go on everywhere. On Saturday, January 16th, right in Northwest 21st Avenue in Portland, Sam was wearing a Packers beanie because he grew up and always loved the Packers. Fine, I'm not a sports person myself, but hey, no, a bunch of Seahawk fans knocked him to the ground, and Sam did not respond. He was hit on the head. He's undergone brain surgery, and he has a long, long trip ahead. And there's going to be a benefit tonight at Sweet Basil's Cafe in Cannon Beach, and there will be more benefits to come, so keep your eyes open. And also be sure to teach your children or yourselves that violence is never the way. It's shocking. This is a happy sports gathering, allegedly. So, Sam, we're wishing you well, and to all the family, Sam's mom and Bridget, and go hear some good music, eat some good food, and show that this community cares. Here's some music from Maggie and the Cats. This was Sam's favorite tune, is Sam's favorite tune.
Just like that river, I've been rolling ever since. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh yes it will.
yes it will. So I got to the movie and I go downtown. People keep telling me, Maggie, don't hang around. It's been long, oh, such a long. Change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. So I go to my brother. I ask my brother, can you help me, please? And you know that my brother.
All right. Thank you. Maggie Kitson and the Cats are going to be playing tonight again at the at Sweet Basil's, and as benefit for Sam Wesley Whitehorn, and we wish him all the best. Refuah Shlema. Well, my favorite way to have the best, as you know, is to have as much performance and visual and tactile art as possible. And so Rosemary Baker Monahan is here from the Liberty Theater, where she's the executive director, because they're having a bunch of stuff happening. So welcome. Yeah.
Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, you've got a Reader's Theater comedy opening this coming Wednesday. And no, yeah.
Next week. Yeah.
It's this coming Wednesday and Thursday, the 27th and 28th. Couple of white chicks sitting around talking. And I think I've seen that before.
Yeah. Here in Astoria, actually.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it was directed by Karen Bain, and Nancy Montgomery played Maud.
Oh, how funny.
I know.
Oh,
she'd
my
be
goodness.
Perfect in that part.
Oh, yeah. Well, and Karen's directing something else, as you heard earlier, folks. Yeah. And this is directed, is Sen directing
Sen's
this one?
Sen's directing this one.
Sen Incavo is directing. And actually, can you get tickets for these in advance?
So, you can.
So if you want to talk to Sen, you can call right now at the Liberty, 503-325-5922. He's at the box office.
Wishing he was here on the radio.
Exactly,
to talk about it.
Yeah. So this is by John Ford Noonan. And can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, I can. It was originally a Broadway, off-Broadway show at the Astor Place Theater, starring Susan Sarandon and Eileen Brennan, who I love them both.
Mm-hmm.
Eileen played Hannah Mae and Susan played Maud. It ran for 800 performances, 2 years. So it had quite a run.
Mm-hmm.
We have Susie Brown playing Hannah Mae.
Oh, there you go.
And we have Tony Iyhander playing Maud. Oh, I know.
Two fabulous actors in this community. That's a shoo-in.
And okay. The rehearsals are hysterical.
I bet they are.
Yeah.
I bet they are.
Yeah.
Those two can play anything. They can do serious as well as humor. So,
yeah.
I wondered how it was going to play out here, but it has been done, and it's played quite well, because it does take place in sort of suburban New York.
It does, and it's kind of a show of opposites attracting. Hannah Mae and Maud. Hannah Mae moves in next door to Maud and watches her through the window for a while.
Oh, great.
And she was like, Maud is very rigid and structured,
as how she presents herself in public, but behind the closed doors, she's dancing away.
And that's Susie's part?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
well, no.
Tony.
Tony is playing the kind of straight-laced.
Rigid rock and roll dancer.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Hannah's from the South, and she just moved into the neighborhood up north. And so it's hysterical as they work through life. And they're both having trouble with wayward husbands. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty funny.
That's an easy thing to conspire about there. So, okay.
Yeah.
And... that's pretty exciting to have. It's very exciting to have, too. I'm also very excited because this is all happening. You can see this Wednesday and Thursday. I love the fact that the readers at the Liberty, it's in the McTavish Room, which is a sweet, sweet space. And I love that this goes on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Yes.
When those are not traditional in this part of the world, of course, in New York, there's theater every night, except Mondays sometimes. But so you can see this and turn around the very next day for Waiting for Godot at down the street. So
we have our own theater district.
There
you
go.
Start thinking about it.
Well, we used to, now we're back.
It's coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, very exciting.
Yeah.
So it's playing again Wednesday and Thursday, the 27th and 28th, and then again February 3rd and 4th at 7 p.m.
Yes.
So it says sitting around talking. Are they actually sitting?
No. Yeah. They start out having coffee every morning. Maud doesn't really like that she comes over to have coffee when the show starts, but by the end of the show, they're friends. But they have regular morning coffees, and so they do start out sitting around talking, but then they do more than that.
I bet they do.
Yeah.
Those two have worked together quite a bit also. So a couple of white chicks sitting around talking at the Liberty McTavish Room this Wednesday and Thursday, and then the following Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. I mentioned earlier, I actually played some music from Otter Creek, which is a band that is playing at the Liberty tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. Now, are they going to be in the theater?
They are.
They're in the theater.
Right.
Okay. And they are quite good, and quite a bit of diversity in their music as well, not to mention their musical instruments, which is
14
amazing. Yeah. It's wonderful. And then... in February, you've got another concert coming up. Who's that?
Well, we do, but we also have our Sunday matinee classic film on Super Bowl Sunday. We'll be showing Singing in the Rain at 2 o'clock.
Oh, so I love that movie. Now, what Sunday would that be for those of us who don't track Super Bowls or cereal bowls or whatever?
February 7th.
February 7th. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And then in the concert you're talking about in February, we're quite excited about it. Her name is Taylor Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
She is Loretta Lynn's granddaughter.
Wow.
And she toured with Loretta and her father, who is Ernie, Loretta's son Ernie.
Nice.
Since she was four. She now lives in Seattle.
Oh.
And she's, I think she's nominated for a Grammy this year. I believe the Grammy Awards are just before our concert, so hopefully she'll win because then we will have gotten her before, while we could still afford her.
Right. Has she put out any recordings, do you know?
She's put out a few.
Okay, because I'm thinking maybe we could get a CD from her so that we can play it on the air before she comes.
I will do that, yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's touring now, so it's hard to get a hold of her, but by the end of next week, I should be able to get a hold of her.
Good, good. And did you just get her from the regular... booking conference thing that you go to? Or?
No, this particular agent called me. One of the performers performing with her is Eric Tingstad.
Oh, of course.
From
Tingstad and
Rumble. Yeah.
They've played here numerous times, so he's quite wonderful. Interesting combination. So does she do more country-style music, do you know?
She does. She does. And sometimes it's a show called All Lynn, the Family.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So she, she'll do Coal Miner's Daughter and all of the ones you think about with her.
Yeah.
She calls her meemaw, that her meemaw sang. Sometimes they do say sometimes Loretta Lynn will show up, but I doubt very much. Wouldn't that be something? But I doubt we're quite a ways from the South, so I doubt that she'll come.
Yeah, but if she's smart, she'll want to come here and see the beautiful Columbia River. Well, you know, everybody does these days, don't they?
Judy Collins loves it here, so maybe, I don't know if they talk to each other, but there you go.
There you go. Okay, so start right out. You can start right out tomorrow evening with Otter Creek. And what is your website where people can get the whole, whole list of things going on?
Liberty-theater.org.
Okay, and that's Liberty dash.
Little hyphen mark.
And theater is E-R.
Yeah.
Liberty dot.
Well, the buildings are E. The company is E-R. We're just very schizophrenic over there. Yeah.
So, and that's a .com.
.org.
Oh, .org.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Okay, and then on Wednesday and Thursday, a couple of white chicks sitting around talking, 7 p.m. It should be a lot of fun with Susie Brown and Tony Ihander and Sen directing.
It's funny.
Good.
We also have coming in March, we have Steve Azar, who's coming with Dina Carter and Jason Young. It'll be a good old country show.
Mm.
And Judy Collins will be coming back in July.
Wow. So, okay. Know. Lots to look forward to. Check the website for updates and listen to Coast Community Radio.
Thank you,
Rosemary. Thank you. Okay. Speaking of what's coming on Sunday at the Fort George, they have Us Lights and Dog Heart. There's a little bit of music from them, and I do want to just let you know again, Seth Titchener on Waiting for Godot at the Performing Arts Center in Astoria, 7 o'clock tonight. Sweet Basil's Cafe, benefit for Sam Wesley Whitehorn. And then Maggie and the Cats playing. Southwester tonight is Samantha Crane from Oklahoma. And then Saturday, tomorrow night, is Zeb DeWar and Friends. And then the Hoffman Manzanita Film Series tonight, Best of 41st Northwest Filmmakers Festival. Tomorrow, Dusu Mali Band in the Voodoo, Tillamook County Pioneer Museum, Otter Creek, we mentioned. Terry Holder is going to be at the Peninsula Performing Arts Center at 7 p.m. in Long Beach. She's quite wonderful. Pi Day Celebration at the White Clover Grange. And the Windlass Kite Festival Saturday and Sunday at the Long Beach School Gym. And the Gay Skate Night on Saturday at the Armory. And last Tuesday Poetry on Tuesday at the Port of Call, 9th and Commercial in Astoria. Wednesday and Thursday is the Reader's Theater at the Liberty McTavish Room. Great Vow Zen Monastery has the painting experience for several days, and the Hoffman Talent Show auditions from 5 to 8. Thursday, don't forget, the Royal Neverher Gallery at the college is featuring Au Naturel for the 10th year, and it's the Day of Homeless Connect all over the county. And Seaside Library is featuring Adam Miller, a folk singer and auto harp. Stay tuned to your Coast Community Radio station, broadcasting now on 90.9 FM KCPB, Warrington, and coastradio.org. Until we get that part that broke off in the storm, we are on it. As soon as it happened, as soon as someone figured out what was going on, they have the part getting fixed in Portland. As soon as it comes back, we'll be back with all of our stations. Thanks for being here, folks. Healing to all. And don't forget that everyone's rights count.